The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
That day-o reminds me of our call Sunday morning, right at daylight when we were running out of beer at the kegger. Daylight's breaking and it's time to go home. You know, Joe Biden is such a disappointment. He has signed a $25 million contract to represent a new adult diaper service, presidential depends, and now he and Hunter are starting a sitcom on TV called Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Poke the Hornet's Nest. Nick, I thought that by the Bengals, that song was awesome. That's why I said we had to open it up. I think it's a great, great start to the show. How are you doing today, Nick?
I'm doing great. Let's get to the weather report. It's not raining.
And it's sunny. There you go. We did it. We nailed it out. Stay cool out there today, because I think we're actually cooling off today. I think we're in the low 100s, not like at 110 or 114. I was at the racetrack yesterday at Thunder Hill and walking around in my race suit, and it was only 143 or so on the asphalt. So it was really nice. Very, very sauna-like.
So you know what these hot chicks in Redding feel like when it's 100 degrees. They're about 145. You know what? I like to start the show off here a while back about a wildlife story or something local.
Yep.
Well, this last Thursday was the last Thursday I spent with my 11-year-old granddaughter, who's out here from Tennessee. She went home yesterday, so it was our last day. And we went up to Castella and played in the Sacramento River.
Oh.
On the way up there, you go just past Gilman Road, and you drop down, and then you've got about a mile of a three-lane passing lane. And then you drop into Lakehead.
Oh, okay.
You know, on a California highway, the third lane, trucks are prohibited.
Yeah.
So we had them side by side in front of us, and this one truck pulled out and got in the third lane to where I had to really slam on my brakes. I mean, I didn't have to skid sideways, but it was a hard slowdown.
You could have added that for the porch of the story, though. It would have made it sound better.
So I looked at my little granddaughter, Riley, and I said, flip him off when we get next to him. And she says, okay. So we get up next to him, and she doesn't. And we got going. I says, why didn't you flip him off? And she says, I would have got in trouble. My dad would have got mad at me. But my Aunt Sadie would have thought it was funny. That was just hilarious.
Leave it to Nick to corrupt the youth. And, Nick, we've got a lot of stuff going on today. What is your, first opening salvo so we can, jump into the show?
Well, I'm really disappointed with sheep that,
I don't know,
follow the lead. I'm talking specifically about the people that are pushing the recall.
Oh, yes.
There's three leaders, a couple guys and a fat chick, and, I've got a video to play. It's about a minute, and it describes these people, and we've got them on the conservative side, too, people that can't think for themselves. Are we ready with that clip, Liam?
Yep.
Let's go.
Video saying that I enjoyed Joe Rogan's podcast. Immediately, I lost 15,000 followers. And I got all these hate comments about, oh, you love guns. I was like, no, I like his podcast. It's, oh, you're a right wing. I'm like, I don't even understand American politics. I just like his podcast. And then one of my clients reached out and said, Vin, take that video down. We can't be seen to be working with someone like you if you're posting this content, especially on LinkedIn. We take it down. I was like, I think it's easier for us not to work together. You're changing who I am. You're making me lie to everyone to pretend to be something that I'm absolutely not. And I see this all the time. People are so afraid of what other people think that they will do whatever other people want, and those people don't care about you and they'll forget about you anyway. If you try to please everyone, you will end up pleasing no one. The person willing to state the truth and be themselves, very powerful. Whereas the person that allows every other person to dictate what they do does not have power.
So that's it. That's why we've got this show. Doug and I speak our minds. We're not followers.
No. And, you know, everything is right is wrong. Everything wrong is right. And I'm just one of those people that don't want to, down the road when it's hitting the fan, sit there and say to myself, gosh, I wish I'd stood up and done something. I don't know what I as a single person
can. Payments in lieu of property taxes and fees to partially mitigate anticipated county costs of providing law enforcement, fire, and emergency services, maintaining the county's road and traffic controls and maintenance, and services related to the project. Now, it's right there in the open. We can go there and comment on it or ask questions, and these guys are calling it a backroom deal. I applaud Kevin Cry for bringing this out and bringing it right in front of the public and say, come and voice your opinion. Here's what we're doing.
Well, you know, it's like the recall. I don't know Kevin well enough up or down to defend him and his character completely because I just don't know the man that well. But I can tell you this recall is all based on lies. Lies, 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 lies. And when you talk to the people at the sign-up booths, they don't even have a clue what the hell they're talking about. They just spin stuff, and they're hoping, as your email originally said back when they thought you were going to be on their committee, they're looking for low-hanging fruit. That was their words, not anybody else's. And when I confronted the lady, I think it was on Carl's show, and she was saying low-hanging fruit was in representative safety. And I'm like, nobody that hears the word low-hanging fruit or words says that's safety. It's about trying to get the uninformed voter to sign for a petition. So everything they've said about Kevin regarding that stuff has been dubious, and here's another example of them lying through their teeth about a backdoor deal that was actually not a backdoor deal.
You know, those people, signing up people, ought to be insulted because they are, in fact, the low-hanging fruit.
They are. Well, that's true. That's very, very true. You know, I said it to the people that I actually confronted is they were giving me the old Kevin Cry and Mike Lindell, and I said, well, doesn't it concern you that our county board of registrars, Kathy Darling, went to a George Soros-funded event? They shut up. They didn't know what to say. So the most evil man on planet Earth and Our Lady is going there, and that's okay. Kevin Cry goes to Mike Lindell, and it's holy hell, let's break out the guns and shoot everybody.
You know, conservatives need to start going to these supervisors' meetings and standing up for what they believe in. There's another a couple other things on this Tuesday's meeting, R5 of Board Matters, discuss the format for public comment, including holding a potential meeting for the purpose of hearing public comment only. No additional fund impact. And I'll tell you, sometimes those comment periods, public comment, and even for things that are on the agenda, just get so repetitive. The same people get up there at the same time. You know, this one idiot, he was at the city council meeting talking about the letter that they're proposing sending to the county supervisors because their costs are going to quadruple for hand count. How are you going to count a ballot that's got 150 different elected offices on it and 50 propositions and bonds? Have you ever seen a ballot like that?
Never.
I mean, you know, and he's used this example time and time again. I guess he just thinks he's smarter than everybody else.
Well, if you say it, you know, the old story is, Nick, if you say it enough, the lie becomes the truth. And so what is the most? Maybe a couple ballots, maybe a couple candidates for governor, federal, state. I mean, you know, they, according to the thing that I saw, they were saying that it's going to take people 8 minutes per ballot to count. 8 minutes. It doesn't even take that long to fill the darn thing out. I just thought that was interesting.
You know, Mary Rickert, she put on, I think it was the last meeting, that she wanted to have decorum in the meetings.
Yes.
And, you know, the comments went on for 2 hours on that.
Yeah.
On something that shouldn't even have been put on there. And Kevin Cry is the one that brought this to our attention, that we have county staff, heads of staff, sitting there, and they're making buku bucks.
Yep.
I mean, to the tune of, you know, $200,000 a year and more. They're sitting there through all of these where they could be working.
Yeah.
And it's costing us a lot of money. So,
well, and it's funny, as Rickert wants to have decorum, and yes, she didn't have a problem with Garmin wearing that T-shirt in there for the recall. I mean, it's funny, they want us to adhere to certain rules, but for them, there are no rules.
You know, she and Garmin are dividers. That's what I have, the conclusion I've come to. They are on the board of supervisors, and when the board votes to get rid of vote counting machines, grant you it was a 3-2 vote, you've got to say, okay, I've lost. How can I help this? Instead, they've gone just the opposite. Like you just said, it's like they're not team players. And we need team players on the Board of Supervisors to promote our county, to move us forward. We're not going anywhere divided like this.
Well, and, you know, they keep, on Kevin Cry, they keep bringing up the fact that Kevin, you know, there's all these, there's hundreds and hundreds of county positions that are open, and Kevin Cry is not doing enough to fill them. Well, you morons, those positions have been empty for years. Why weren't you out there beating on Modi? Why weren't you beating on Comenti? Why weren't you beating on Kehoe? Those are not the result of Kevin Cry, and yet you make it seem as if Kevin, in his couple months that he's been on the board, should have filled hundreds of county positions. So, I mean, pretty much, Nick, every single thing they say is a lie. And, you know, there's that song that says, I know you're lying because your lips are moving. That pretty much sums up the recall crowd.
Well, the thing is, we have gotten by all these years without those positions being filled.
Interesting, isn't it?
And the Opportunity Center shut down. Maybe those guys could come and fill these jobs.
Yeah. I mean, exactly. The county is running along, and we've given amazing raises to all senior management, but the rank and file has done nothing. And yet the county does seem to function reasonably well. I mean, in light of everything, our roads kind of suck, but that's another story. But, yeah, so, you know, they want us to add, you know, what is it, 350 people to the payroll, when, in fact, the county seems to be moving along. Now, you know, mental health, maybe we could squeeze in some money and get some people there to help out the homeless people, but other than that, everything else seems to be moving along, and we could abolish the building department altogether, in my opinion.
I thought you and Chris were working on that.
Well, Chris Kelstrom is a busy man. I think he had to go do a water dunk tank here recently. So, true story.
Did they get the heavy-duty one?
Well, you know, I think to get him off that thing, they probably had to use a bazooka and shoot the target just to get him to fall in there. And then he would have fell down to, his knee. So it wasn't really fair. But, no, I've offered Chris to help out revamping the building department into a common-sense public-friendly thing versus the punitive, absolute horror that it is now.
Do you think that we would have more affordable housing without the building department?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we'd have a lot. I mean, we actually just saw something at the Board of Realtors, and it was put on by CAR two weeks ago. And it was this last week. It was brought on by the American Liberty, whatever. And they actually are the ones that go to Supreme Court and stuff. And he was providing factual proof, that with every regulation, the cost in housing goes up about 5%. So we have gotten to the point now where the regulations that the government keeps introducing to make affordable housing makes it less affordable. And the more regs you put on that they have to adhere to, the more expensive it gets. I mean, Los Angeles, he said, had allocated $2 billion, I believe, for affordable housing with a projected 10,000 units. And in the year since they've approved it, they've gotten 2,000 units out of 10,000, and the money's gone. They're 8,000 units short, and they were using $2 billion to build them. That's all regulations.
Well, one thing about our government, it knows how to spend money.
Oh, boy. If you don't have to make it and you can spend somebody else's money, you can spend it real quickly. I wish I had that when I was growing up. That would have been fun.
So here's another thing, R6, that's on this next meeting. Receive a presentation from the county administrative office and the district attorney regarding Pacific Gas and Electric Zog Fire settlements. You know, some of that money went to places that probably weren't affected by the Zog Fire, and I think that's why this is called into question. And I think all three of these were brought up by Kevin Cry. You never hear any of the other supervisors or the old supervisors bringing up things that, you know, the public really would be interested in, because I'm interested in all three of these.
Yeah, yeah. And I came across an article that was sent to me, because obviously now that I'm on your show, people send me stuff. So thank you, Nick, for bringing me to light. I want to read some of this stuff real quick. It's by Colleen Britton of the she is an EIPCA coordinator, Solano County. So I'm just going to read it to you as verbatim without messing it up. In January 2023, Shasta County Board of Supervisors rocked the world when they voted to cancel their contract with Dominion voting machines and subsequently adopt a paper ballot hand counting process for conducting elections in their county. While the decision was met with enthusiastic support by citizens, including me, in Shasta and other California communities, it was met with horror from election officials and bureaucrats across the state. According to the American Federation, state, county, blah, 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 I'll go on. But here's what I want about misinformation. So we're moving down about a paragraph. Was it misinformation? A closer look at recent disclosures reveals that Shasta County's concerns about reliability of Dominion's voting machine, Dominion voting systems were based on facts. On June 16, 2023, the Haldeman Report, a 95-page security analysis of Georgia's ImageCast X-Ballot marketing devices, was released by U.S. District Court in Georgia. So let's clarify. This is a court-ordered release. It revealed critical vulnerabilities in the Dominion voting machine systems currently being used in California and throughout the U.S. Attackers can alter QR codes on printed ballots and can install malware, which is what Clint Curtis actually told us, with only brief physical access to the machines. ICX malware can still change individual votes and most election outcomes without detection. Even the audibility of the ballots can be compromised by cheating. More importantly, now California voters have legally verified record of Dominion voting system failure, which resulted in falsely certified election, leading to a court-ordered decertification of election results. The Oakland Unified School District Area 4 2022 election, Hutchinson versus Resnick, interesting name, Shasta County, Alameda, Dominion's failure named the wrong candidate as the winner of the Oakland School Board of District 4. I could go on. There's more actually cited in here. The vote to remove Dominion, which Nick and I have wholeheartedly said we do not trust as much as liberals trust it, is proving with more evidence daily to have been the right decision, Nick. So what do you got?
I've got a letter to the editor from Mike Natina. Mike graduated from Enterprise High School a year before me, very well spoken, liked in the community, worked his ass off his whole life, and I'm going to read the highlights. I'm unaffiliated, have no credentials, don't live in don't live in Shasta County Board of Supervisors, District 1, and I don't know Kevin Cry. A successful recall would rebalance the board to the liking of some without an election and creates an opportunity to return to electronic voting. So instead of condemning him for associating with people we don't know, I'd like to acknowledge Mr. Cry's efforts to round out the discussion about electronic versus manual mechanical voting. He invited some credible people to give open, informative testimony to the Board of Supervisors, the elections office, and the public. We need full moonlight on this. Alex Haberdash, a lawyer who works in election law, stated that manual and electronic voting systems are legal in California and offered some simple wordage to use when the county submits its voting plan to the state for approval. Clint Curtis brought unique, on-the-record experience, credentials, and knowledge to support his testimony and a sincere plea to bring both sides together on our voting issue. He answered every question directly, congenially, and corrected a mistake by the Deputy Secretary of State in her narrative to the board regarding error rates. This is on video. That would be the supervisor's meeting.
Yep.
One point at issue is error rates. As I understand it, a manual system makes error rates nearly irreverent because errors are in the open and correctable. An electronic system also makes errors nearly irrelevant because false entries are covert and untraceable. Not good. Mr. Curtis made that crystal clear. A machine, you can't find the error. It's not there. It's in air.
Nope.
Mr. Cry is getting a hard and fast seasoning. If he is forced out, we may see the political complexities of this voting issue burn in Shasta County for a long time. Change can be difficult, and it doesn't help matters when the people push a stubborn narrative, see an informed public as the enemy.
Wow.
Let's get real numbers fully publicized via our local media outlets for consideration before firing a cannonball at the board members. Now, that's not his complete letter. I just highlighted the important parts. But, you know, let's get real numbers fully publicized via our local media outlets. They're so dishonest with it's ridiculous. They call us neo-Nazis.
Yeah.
Fascists is what they call us, and all we're trying to do is speak the truth.
And we believe in the Constitution and upholding what it says in black and white. And, you know, we are considered to be the right-wing conspiracy theorists and Nazis, and the reality is, I would argue, it's the exact opposite.
And with that, we go to a break.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
...100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hey Reading, don't miss out on our Burger Basket Diner deal. Here for the summer only. Get your paws on a single, double, or triple burger and fries any time of the day. For an added treat, make it a combo with a specially priced hand-scooped ice cream milkshake. Open daily, so come on in and feed your inner bear at the Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Reading.
Black Bear Diner. Each year, millions of older adults suffer injuries from a fall. One out of five falls results in life-threatening injuries, such as broken bones or head trauma. Many falls are preventable. PSA2 Area Agency on Aging announces the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program, funded by the California Department of Aging. This no-cost program's mission is to reduce the number of debilitating falls suffered at home by older adults and persons with disabilities. If you are 60 and older, or persons with disabilities of any age residing in Lassen, Modoc, Shasta, Siskiyou, or Trinity counties and are at risk of falling or being institutionalized, this program may be able to help. The Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program enables older adults and persons with disabilities to live independently and safely in their home environment for as long as possible. Contact PSA2 Area Agency on Aging at 842-1687. That's 842-1687 to learn more about the Dignity at Home Fall Prevention Program.
They've torn Portland all to pieces and let Chicago go to hell. There's people leaving New York City like they rang the fire bell. They call themselves enlightened, but cancel those who don't agree. Wish all these folks who claim they're woke would just go back to sleep. I'm just saying, have we all lost our minds? I'm just saying, where do we draw the line? I know y'all think it takes balls to be singing what I'm singing.
We need more people to stand up and say what we're thinking.
I said it before, I'll say it again, and I'll continue to say it. The problem is not the liberals. Their stupidity knows no bounds. It's the fact that us conservatives, we tried to live our lives, and we didn't pay attention. You know, in baseball, there's a saying, you don't take your eye off the ball when you're swinging a bat. And us conservatives took the eye off the ball about our country, and we're now paying what could be the ultimate price if we don't get back on it. So I agree with you, Nick. We need to finally stand up and say something and not be afraid. Because you know what's funny is when you're dealing with liberals, everybody walks on eggshells. Everybody's afraid to say something to piss them off. But those idiots, those morons, will say whatever they want to insult us, insult right wing, insult Trump, insult whatever things that we are, call us every ist there is. And that's okay, but we have to walk around eggshells around them. It's time to stop walking on eggshells. If some idiot liberal makes something stupid, call them on it. They're just bullies and they will shut up.
Hey, I've got clip number one coming up, but I want to introduce it. I'm taking my hat off to HHS in Portland. They have figured out an exercise program that's going to get the homeless back up off their feet and moving. Are you ready with that?
Yep. Voice of God.
In tonight's Reiner Report, security escorted State Superintendent of Public
Instruction. Oh, that's the wrong clip. We'll get the right clip here.
So bad, even the homeless are fed up.
You don't have to do shit, but stay in your tent or party, or if you smoke a lot of dope, you can do that. It's like you wake up, you go eat a blanche, get high. Go eat a blanche for lunch, get high. Go eat dinner, get high. And that's all you do all day long, every day. I'm being honest.
I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah.
Doesn't feel like that's really helping anybody.
It's not.
Go eat someone's face, get high.
So.
You know what?
So they're getting their exercise, going and eating, getting something to eat. Right.
Yes.
At the time they're getting high. You gotta start slow with these people.
Well, yeah, you know, the idea of getting them off of drugs would be a good start, but I guess we should get them moving, maybe make the distribution centers further away so they have to walk further.
Well, I think we've got drive-up service here in Shasta County for the marijuana smokers. Hey, there's a couple of businesses here I want to give a plug for. You know, I hadn't eaten pizza for about 2 months, so I went down to Shasta Pizza Company on Parkview and got a pizza yesterday. I went over to my buddy Greg's house and we split it, and I said, boy, this is pretty good pizza. And he says, this is the best pizza in Reading.
Well, I will tell you, I'll put in a shameless plug as well. I live in Shingletown now, or in the Manton area, actually, to be honest with you. And since the new owner, or I say the owner who rehabbed the bar and pizza joint in that little center up there, I got to tell you, the pizza at that place, it's also really good. I mean, like, legitimately really good. So if you're up in Shingletown and it's open, pizza at the joint there on the left-hand side is really good.
And then the play space on Churn Creek Road, right behind Kahuna's, 1824 Churn Creek, has changed hands.
Oh.
And it is more catering to kids that are 6 and under. I was in there last week, and there was about 12 or 14 little kids in there, all well-behaved and enjoying themselves. I asked her, I said, well, if somebody came in with a sibling that was, you know, 7 or 8, oh, I wouldn't turn them away. But it's $12 a day.
Oh.
You know, if you got to drop your kids off and go to an adult movie, or, you know, do a little shopping, Christmas shopping or something like that, this is the place. If you just need a break, it's the play space. The number is 605-3055. I recommend it. That I raised a little boy by myself, and I know how you'd get pinched once in a while to where you couldn't get done what you wanted to get done.
Yeah, and just for the record, these are not sponsorships. We're not getting paid for this. This is actually genuine. We want these businesses to do well, so I had to put that out there.
Oh, absolutely. We've got to shop local.
Yes. So, Nick, you found something from Temecula. That
well, yeah, but I found more. I thought up new things about David Keogh and what a wonderful job he did with us.
Oh, well, I am all ears.
David Keogh was on the Board of Supervisors when they decided and came up with the plan to build a new courthouse. David, how come we have to transport prisoners from the jail to the courthouse instead of having a holding cell for them there? Can you imagine how much that's going to cost us?
Oh, yeah.
They're talking about maybe a tunnel. Can you imagine what that's going to cost us?
Yep.
And, geez, you know, a forward thinker like him should have pointed out that out to Leonard Mody. Leonard Mody was, I don't know what he was doing.
But, well, you know, they had a plan. That's what they keep accusing Kevin Cry is not having a plan. So here, these guys must have had a plan that we just don't know about.
Yeah, but the thing is, that takes a deputy off the streets.
Yes.
If not just one, two. Or a jailer.
Yep.
And we're short on them.
Yep.
So they have just taken a... And that's another thing I wanted to get to about the thing we started off with.
Uh-oh, Joe's entered. Sleepy Joe's entered the booth with me.
Oh,
somebody saying...
kicking on me. Oh, the money for the casino.
Oh, yes.
We're going to be paying for police down there just when they have an emergency.
Which is probably every night with people drinking.
Well, I noticed down at Wind River, I've been there 3 times for class reunions, and there was always a RPD down there. But say they get, I think Redding got $500,000 for police. Well, did that $500 go into the general fund, and then they just took that away from our regular policing? You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I would think with the county, if they're going to get a certain, say they get $600,000 a year for policing, that they should hire 2 deputies that are their main priority would be the casino. They could have a little beat, you know, around the area there, but that's their main, and it wouldn't take away from our force.
No.
You see my thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, come on. $500,000 can't afford 2 deputies working different shifts, really?
Well, you'd only need 2 shifts because they've got to have a slow time. Probably, you know, like 6 in the morning when the tweakers go home and go to bed till about 10, 8 or 10 at night.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we will we'll figure that out because, as you just heard, Nick, the police chief is retiring after a couple years. And, I mean, let's be blunt. I don't begrudge the law enforcement. The stuff they deal with, the people they see, the continually arresting and seeing the same people day in and day out, that's got to be demoralizing. So I don't underestimate the stress and that. But, I mean, it seems like every time these people get into this position, they're there just long enough to qualify for the pension, and then they're out.
Well,
and I'm not throwing shade at you, but I'm just saying that seems to be a trend right now in Shasta County.
I'm going to defend the police and the firefighters.
Yep.
They in 30 years they get 3% each year of their top wage.
Yes.
For 1 year, so they work 30 years. Well, you know, some of them are retiring at 50 and 55. They should have to work until they're 60 or 65, whatever we do. They're not better than us. But I just like the way they spike it at the end.
That's what I'm saying.
You didn't say that. You're stealing that from me again.
No, I said they seem to get there just long enough to spike the pension and then retire. So I said that. You didn't listen.
They could spike it in 20 years. It really doesn't matter. It appears to me like they're playing musical police chiefs and...
And again, I
like they're playing musical principals at the schools.
Yes. And again, I am a gigantic support to Blue firefighter. I've got clients. I've got friends who are in that profession. And I wouldn't do it because first off, I was a cop. I'd probably shoot somebody. I just couldn't put up with the crap day in and day out. So I totally support them doing it. And like I talked to somebody who recently retired. One of the things I think that the law enforcement should do is I agree a 55-year-old cop is not going to be running as hard as a 25-year-old cop. So let's just call a spade a spade. But those guys, their knowledge is so deep. They know everything. Isn't there a way that we could bring those guys on, still having some work hours, 20 hours a week, take them off of active gun duty, and have them doing detective work, filing reports, keep that knowledge in our department because those guys know so much and they see through a lot of crap. And I think that's something we could do where these guys could work a little bit longer, because, you know, one of the things that comes out when they do these retirements is they retire, and because life is so much different, it's not uncommon for police officers to be dead within 5 years because everything has changed for them. And I think a way that we could help offset that is keep them as part of the force and use their knowledge. But I said spiking first, so I just want the record to report that.
Well, let's get something going like a board that they have for the Super Bowl and football games on what date Shuler's going to die in 5 years.
Well, I don't want to do that. That's kind of kind of morbid, but I'm thinking that, you know, having these guys after they get out of this high-stress environment and not put them in the stress environment but let them do the work that would free up the active guys, I just think that makes complete sense because we're already giving them a giant pension. Why don't we go, hey, for the next 5 years, you're working 20 hours a week. You're not going to be on patrol. You're not going to have to do your gun. You're just going to do the follow-up and all that good stuff. And maybe that way we can keep these guys and their knowledge and pass that down and make better police officers earlier on by using the older guys. But the spiking stuff is, that's the way the system is designed. That's how PERS works. And you just max out the very last 3 years. And, you know, I don't begrudge them because it's the system, but boy, it sure makes for a nice retirement.
You know, I think Shuler did a wonderful job, has done a wonderful job. Roger Moore did a wonderful job.
Yeah.
Roger is in a different business now. He was going into, I understood, energy efficient housing with a guy when he retired. But I saw him, and he was in a vehicle that said something about fire control.
Oh.
I kind of assumed it was clearing land or brush control or advising or something like that. And some of these guys, they're young. They're 50 to 55.
Well,
they're not going home and sitting on their rear ends like people my age when they retire.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. They get to retire. They get to deal with a lot of crap, and you get to retire early with a nice pension. I support that. I get that. But they're still so young. They bring valuable stuff to the table.
Oh, they've got a lot to offer.
And why can't we?
And not just the police chief. The rest of them under them that retire.
Yeah.
Not quite so lucrative, but they've got a lot of knowledge we could tap in and use.
Absolutely.
Maybe we should get a panel of them in here. We ought to do that. Get three or four of them in here after they've retired and they can really talk and find out what's wrong with our law enforcement and how it could get better.
I think that's a great idea. I'll do some reach out and see what I can find out.
That'd be good. Let's talk about the Temecula Valley School District.
Please.
Last week, I mentioned that the state was threatening to cut off funds for schools K through 8 that were taking out the books that were explaining all about sex to the kids, same-sex sex, opposite sex, whatever sex you want to describe
to young kids,
and school boards were saying no, not in our school, and so state was going to withdraw funds, and we're having that battle out at Gateway, I believe.
Yes.
Let me read you this. Temecula Valley United School District The $1.5 million fine will cover the cost to ship materials to the district, a fine Newsom warned would follow if the board members insist on withholding their approval. In a video on July 13th, the prominent Democrat said the state would be stepping in to ensure the district's students receive the same materials as those belonging to other California schools, along with the threat he blasted board members as extremists for holding the line. So the people, the school board that's saying, no, we're not putting this in our school, he's calling them extremists. The state's saying, we're going to provide them, and on top of that, we're going to fine you $1.5 million. And we have a clip from the school district at, this one's in Chino Hills, with a state fellow coming in and telling them what side of the coin the head's on. So can you play that, Liam?
In tonight's Reiner Report, security escorted State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tony Thurman off the floor of a local school board meeting last night.
It comes after he spoke out against a new policy that would force schools to inform parents if their child is transitioning.
Our political reporter Morgan Reiner joins us now. Morgan, the policy was adopted?
Yes, Laura, the school board did adopt the policy, and Tony Thurman tried to speak for longer than his time allowed, and he was quickly shut down. Guys, this is just the latest in the clash between the state and the local school districts.
Parents packed into Thursday night's Chino Valley Unified School District board meeting.
The first speaker is Tony Thurman.
Superintendent Tony Thurman spoke against a proposed policy that requires schools to disclose to parents if their kid is transitioning.
To consider this, that the policy that you consider tonight not only may fall outside of the laws that respect privacy and safety for our students, but may put our students at risk because they may not be in homes where they can be safe.
Time.
But he is cut off after
Time.
1 minute.
Time.
He walks off, but Sandra Shaw followed up.
Tony Thurman, I appreciate you being here tremendously. But here's the problem. We're here because of people like you. You're in Sacramento proposing things that pervert children.
So he walked back to the podium.
May I have, as a point of order, as the board
president. No, order, this is not your meeting. You may have a seat, because if I did that to you in Sacramento, you would not accept it. Please sit.
Can I get a point of order?
You're not going to blackmail us.
You can see two security guards walk up to Thurman. Then two more surround him, and he's escorted off.
Mr. Thurman was granted more respect and decorum than I ever have been by the supermajority Democrats in Sacramento.
Republican Assemblymember Bill Asaley spoke right after. He introduced a bill to do what the school district did on a statewide level.
They would not even hear my bill because they said it was too hateful without even having a conversation.
Dozens of speakers later,
some prefer a dead child to a trans child.
The board passed the policy 4-1.
Tell Sacramento to back down and then I'll back down.
Just last week, Newsom and Thurman intervened in another school district that voted not to include supplemental material because it included the name of a gay rights activist. The state went ahead and purchased the material anyway for the students, guys.
Meanwhile, Thurman said their policy may not be legal, right? Can we expect more action on his part?
If there is any indication that what the school board did last night is against the state law in any way, you bet Tony Thurman is going to try and do something. But last night, the state president, the school board president that you heard from several times in this piece, she said and continued to quote the district attorney, saying that what they are doing is completely legal.
So there you have it. Getting back to Temecula, that is the one that wouldn't do the gay rights
for the kids.
Yes, conservative board members who rejected state-endorsed textbooks that mentioned gay rights activist Harvey Milk. Milk, the person in contention, was the first gay man to win election in San Francisco, and late California lawmaker was known to have had a relationship with a 16-year-old boy while living in New York in his 30s. CNN added, at the time, the age of consent in the Empire State was 14.
There you go. There you go. It was legal.
So here's the state. We're going to purchase these books, and we're going to fine you $1.5 million.
Yep. I'm speechless. I mean, this is how perverted liberals, and I mean every liberal, you cannot support Newsom, Biden, Pelosi, and not be thrown in their game, their fill. this is what they believe in. They believe we should destroy healthy young people by putting them in this position and basically taking the rights of a parent. I mean, all of a sudden we're giving 13-year-olds, because 13-year-olds are always clear, cognizant of what they're doing and make great decisions, and we're going to let them destroy their life and their body, and we can't tell the parents. That's amazing. And they liberals think that's right. They think that's giving the kids protection under health laws. Like, you can't make that stuff up.
I've run across two or three videos, and I just read the headlines of young people that wished that they hadn't transitioned.
Oh, they're getting hammered. There's a lot of what's called detransitioning, and there are a lot of them that are starting to do it. And I watched one the other day as well from a young lady who's now, I think, 21 or 22, and her mom convinced her around the age of 11 or 12 she was a little boy. So they started doing all this cross-sex hormones, blockers. They did what's called the top surgery. And moving forward all these years, like 10 years, she suffers from massive depression. She's got brittle bones, problems with her teeth. Her mammary glands are all gone because they were removed. And she wants to be a girl, and she was so angry that nobody stood up for her.
You know, that's just like the COVID shots, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it was good for us. It was good for us. Don't you have something to say about it?
I do. I came across something that I thought I would share, because I've been public about this as much as I can. COVID was a hoax. If you're still wearing a mask, stop. It shames humanity when I see people in their own car with a mask. A little funny story. I was checking into my hotel Friday at Willow's, and there was a couple ahead of me. And the one lady in full bike leathers on a 114-degree day, she had something about Trump that wasn't exactly very flattering, so I figured that she probably wasn't a Trump supporter. And the lady was trying to check her in, and she had a full-face mask helmet on, if you can picture this. And under the mask helmet, she had a mask on. She was riding a bike by herself, and the lady would ask her a question, and all she got back was, I mean, it was hilarious watching this. But
maybe she was ugly.
Well, based on the body size, that's not unlikely. But the point I'm making is it's a hoax. And so now here's something coming out that I just wanted to read. It's funny. It was published and then immediately removed. A study on COVID vaccine deaths was published and then removed by The Lancet. So let's be very clear, not a right wing, not some conspiracy, not QAnon, The Lancet. How does this happen exactly? The study was done by a group of doctors who reviewed death certificates of people who died within 1 week of receiving the COVID vaccine. They found that close to 74% of deaths they reviewed could be attributed to the vaccine. This totaled 240 deaths in total. Goes on to talk about what kinds, heart stuff. It used to be if there was two or three adverse reactions, they would pull medicine from the public and they would re-study the whole thing. Here we have an actual death shot, a murder shot. I actually challenged Michael Johnson on the air with Mr. Bott that said if the coroner has a number of deaths from March 20, well, actually it would be more like into 21 because the shots didn't come out till 21, where they have no cause of death, but the people had a shot. Would he be willing to charge FISA, Fauci et al. With murder? Because that's what's happening. We have now been given, I mean, they now have proof from reputable liberal sites saying there's something wrong with the shot. It was nothing more than a flu. They locked us down, they robbed our life, and then they injected us with poison. And yet nobody's paying the price for it. So when you talk about the health of young people, I'm really concerned about the health of older people too, Nick.
You know, you mentioned that biker gal that had a mask on underneath her helmet with a full shield. I had an uncle up in Fairbanks, Uncle Gene, wonderful guy, and he was married to a Korean, Cole. And she was wonderful too. She came down to visit one time. They were in Reading to visit. And I went over there about, 8 in the morning, and I'm sitting there drinking coffee with my Uncle Gene and chatting. And after about 20 minutes, I said, Uncle Gene, where's Co? Didn't she come down with you? And he looks at me and he says, Nick, my wife's too ugly to kiss goodbye. I had to bring her with me. She'll be out in a minute.
Leave it to Nick to go for a Nickism in the show.
That's the truth. He really said that.
But, you know, folks, I've been saying it. I've been public about it. I don't hide behind what the thought. There was evidence early on, and this is something I really have against Trump, because for a guy who spent his time on Twitter all the time, he obviously was on the Internet, there was factual research-based evidence to prove the hoax was real, and real in terms of a hoax. And yet he cowed to Fauci et al. And let's not forget, he's the one that locked us down. He's the one that ordered the jab. So don't let him off the hook for that, because he still stands by the fact that was the right deal to do, even though it's killing people. It was a hoax. So if you see people with their mask, I mean, I try to respect personal space, but it just, they lack humanity and they lack intelligence. They tell you who they voted for just by wearing a mask.
Well, you know, I compare a lot of Trump's decisions that were, might be considered negative to a business. You know, a business is really only as good as its help.
Yeah.
And, you know, the administration that advised him, Fauci and them, that was his help.
Well, yeah, and he, and you know, Fauci obviously had a history, as has now come out publicly, of just destroying people, just absolutely destroying people. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not president. I wasn't in his circle of friends or his advisors, but Trump did manage to surround himself with a bunch of piranhas, that were not there to help him.
So he had a bunch of piranhas that weren't there to help him. He had the, Democrats, with their, fake Russian conspiracy.
Yep.
He had everybody in the country fighting him, yet he didn't get us in the war.
Nope.
He closed the borders.
Yep.
Made us energy independent. No inflation, record levels of employment, especially with minorities, and these idiots still hate him.
Oh, yeah. Well, because the thing is, for a liberal, because they're too stupid to wipe their bums, is they need to have a lower, I mean, a literal sub- class. They need to have people who are dependent on them, because they know better than everybody else, and that's the problem. Whereas conservatives, and Trump tried it, is, you know, lift the boat up, get everybody going in the same direction, making, you know, a good average life, and people would be happy that way. So, Nick, you know, I had a special guest. I won't bring her in today, but I wanted to interview a young lady who is a friend of mine who is a conservative, and we're going to be out of time because she kept looking at me saying, no, no, no. But I wanted to ask her, unfortunately, we're not going to get the choice today, a chance today, but I wanted to ask her what young people think of all this crap going on. I mean, you know, we talk at these kids, and there's a lot of things we can make fun of as they made fun of our generation. They probably made fun of your generation, Nick.
Oh, no. No, but we were cutting edge.
Yes, you guys were driving the Chevys and going fast at the levee. But, no, you know, I just wanted to ask her, because we don't listen to these kids, and I don't know that we have to listen to them per se, but I wanted to get her point of view, and it's unfortunate, but we'll get her in next time she's in California, because she's just being a little shy today. But I thought I'd bring up the COVID, because it just – it still impacts our daily life. You still see people wearing the mask. You still see people that are Karens, and you just, it just, it's all fake. It's all a hoax.
Hey, I want to give a shout out to Kevin Cry. His show has been outstanding the last three shows.
Oh, good.
If you have the opportunity and you didn't hear his shows, go to KCNR1460.com and fish around and find the archives and go to it. Kevin, you're doing a really good job, and I appreciate it. And many other people in Shasta County do. Keep your chin up, buddy.
There you go. You keep fighting, Kev, because that's what we need. Have a great day. Stay cool. Bye-bye.
I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. So good, so good. I got you. Wow, I feel nice. The sugar is fine. I feel nice. The sugar is fine.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.